Now choir has done that in a wonderful way today. Amen. That's right. We've already announced the funeral that will be here on Wednesday. Brother Ed, on tomorrow, funeral will be at Holy Trinity Baptist Church. Sean's mother will be funeralized tomorrow. We're praying for her. Always happy to see all of you. Happy to see, I call him a member from Denver by way of Atlanta now. It's Marion Williams McDaniel. That's Mary Sweeney's sister. Did I call that right? I thought I did. Let's say amen for Mary Sweeney's sister. Always being part of our ministry. All of the other guests who are here today, the McNichols, who are not guests, they are family. We always appreciate your presence. Amen. I'm excited to go to this word today. If you say amen at the proper time, I won't hold you as long as I would if you don't say amen. I say at the proper time because some of y'all start saying amen the moment I tell you that you all can get me done quick. I want to go to Luke chapter 12, verse 32. We'll go to verse 32. Thank you for all of your pastor anniversary gifts that you gave to me. And I got a new gift this year, and that's a Wegmans card. I've never had a Wegmans gift card, but I certainly appreciate it. Amen. As I said on last Sunday, I appreciate everything that you do for me because you don't have to do it, and I thank you for doing just as you do. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, as we enter into this Advent season, I'll read this just one verse, others are in your text. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Had a wonderful class time this morning with the diaconate and the trustee at 8:30 this morning, from 8:30 to 9:30. And really appreciate that precious time with our leaders this morning in the Word. Waiting on the Lord. For several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared burglars. One night, her husband and her were in the bed and heard a noise in the house, so the husband jumped up, waved, and he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, he did find a burglar. "Good evening," the husband said to the burglar. He said, "I'm pleased to see you." He said, "Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been awake forever, waiting 10 years to meet you." Many of us, some of you will get that in the morning, many of us act as this woman did. We spend so much time being anxious that we seem almost eager for bad things to happen. But when we worry, our faith is diminished. Faith is the substance of, you know what, things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. It is a medical fact that over 51 diseases can be directly traced to worry. Don't let worry eat you alive. Instead of worry, look around and see what opportunities God is giving you to serve him. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you." Do you know what, children of God? We have nothing to worry about. Everything in Jesus to wait on. Solomon must have been speaking of the uselessness of worry when he wrote, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Psalms 127, 1 and 2 says, "It is vain for you to rise early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." Do you know sleep comes from God? And since God never slumbers, and since he never sleeps, it's just no sense in me and God staying up all night long. Worry won't help us. People tend to worry when something occurs in our lives that we can't control. We have no control over. We tend to worry about things that we have no control over. When something appears on the horizon of our lives that looks bad, even though it may not happen, sometimes we still worry. How many of you had tickets and you've had to go to court, or you've had to go to court for one reason or another? And when you got to court, but prior to getting to court, you stood in the mirror looking and practicing what you were going to say to the judge. "I'm going to tell the judge I was sick. I'm going to tell the judge I didn't see the light. I'm going to tell the judge the tree was blocking the stop sign." And you lay awake all night long trying to figure out what you're going to tell the judge. And when they called your name, they said, "Case dismissed." And you never had to say a mumbling word. Many times you've had meetings that you had to prepare for, and you couldn't sleep because you spent so much time preparing for the meeting. "When I get there, I'm going to stand like this. I'm going to wear this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to be the first to say this. I'll say this, I'll counter this, I'll come back with this." And you get to the meeting and nothing that you thought was coming up came up. We worry about big things and we worry about little things. The point is, we worry. A lot of us are like the fellow who raised chickens, and I'm not talking about me. And among them was a rooster that occasionally crowed and greatly annoyed the next door neighbor. Early one morning, disturbed and angry, the neighbor called the owner of the flock and made this complaint: "That miserable bird of yours keeps me up all night long." "I don't understand," the flock owner said. The man who had the chicken said, he said, "I don't understand, because the bird is not crowing at night." He says he hardly ever crowed, and if he does, it's only once or twice a day. The man quickly said, he says, "That's not my problem. It's not how often the rooster crows that irritates me. It's not knowing when he's going to crow. That's what keeps me up at night." In the verse that preceded verse 32, Jesus had spent some time telling his disciples that they did not need to be eaten up with worry. And he had spent some time previously in the text letting them know that they did not need to make themselves sick with fear. When fear moves in, faith moves out. And Jesus encouraged his followers to get their hearts in the correct place in view of the fast approaching end times. Do you know the old song that say we don't have long to stay? Jesus has been saying that to his disciples since the beginning of time, but the truth is we don't have long to stay here. He called his listeners to the center to center their energy and service on God. Instead of worrying, using your energy on worry, use that time and use that energy on the service of God. They were children of the King, and he would see to the needs that arose in their lives. Don't we already know that God will take care of you? Beneath his wing of love abide. Who am I talking to that already know God will take care of you? Jesus points out in this text, he points out how gracious God is. And I looked at this text. I was at the table early this morning and I was looking at this text. I looked at it last night. And I want y'all to know that there are some parts of the text that just wets up my eyes. It just causes me to become teary-eyed when I think about, because I know me better than anybody knows me. And God does not have to love me, but he does. He doesn't have to wake me in the morning, but he does. He doesn't have to rock me to sleep at night, but he does. And this is one of those scriptures that just sort of causes me to be grateful to the fullest extent to God. He points out, Jesus points out God's graciousness, his gracious provisions for the birds of the air. In other words, you need not worry. Have you not seen the sparrows lately? Have you not seen how God feeds and protects and takes care of even the birds? Verse 22, 24 talks about how Jesus had to remind his disciples that God takes care of the little birds, the little sparrows. I'm not talking about the fancy birds that people spend lots of money on. I'm talking about the little sparrows that flies around in the trees, around our houses. God takes, who feeds the birds? If God feeds the birds, if God takes care of the birds, especially in a Rochester winter, you look out your window and still see the birds. I don't know if you paid any attention to it, but when you look out and see the birds in the wintertime, they're not shivering. They're not sitting on a wire fence just wondering where the heat is coming from, because God takes care of the little birds. And that's what Jesus reminds his disciples. He reminds them of the folly of worry. Even the birds, they do not worry. But this blesses me too, because if you push on down to verse 27 and verse 28, not only does God take care of the birds, but notice in this text, he also takes care of the flowers of the field. I don't care how much snow we get in this year, when it's time for the flowers to spring up, I don't care how hard the winter is, it doesn't matter how long the winter is, when it's time for the dandelions to pick up, they're coming up. When it's time for the roses to bud, they bud. When it's time for all of the little flowers, the crocus and the hydrangeas and the irises and all of the flowers that are in the ground look like they're dead, some of them. Can I get a witness here when I tell you some of them look like they're on their last leg? God has a way of, even when you look like you're on your last leg, God still has everything in control. And this verse just brings, I don't know what it does for you, but it just brings chills to me. It has brought chills to me this week, because I need to be reminded sometimes that God has his eyes on me. I need to be reminded sometimes that he loves me, and how much he loves me, and how much he cares, and how much he will take care of me. Anybody here ever just need to be reminded that you're not in control of your own life? You're not in control of your own destiny. You're not in control of the steps that you take. It's God. God will take care of his own. And so I'm learning how to wait on God. Verse 28, he takes care of the flowers. Verse 29, he tells them that the secret of having their need met is to live your life for the Lord. And I know what we like to say is, how do you do it? You walk with God. Walk with me here. If they will only love God, then they can rest free from the worries of life. God will see to the needs of his people. Jesus concludes his words in this text of encouragement with verse 32. In this verse, he speaks some much needed words of peace to his people. Really, some of us don't need any more money. Some of us don't need another job. Some of us don't need to see the doctor. Some of us don't really need the prescriptions that we have. What we really need is peace. He opens this verse with the command. He noticed that he tells us to fear not, to be anxious for nothing, to wait on God. This is a command. This is a command for us not to live in a state of continual worry. Do you know that worry, we get the word worry from the word phobia. I hear God saying, don't allow yourself to live in a state of phobia. I hear God saying, don't allow yourself to live in a worried state concerning the affairs of your life. Doesn't matter what you got, God can take care of it. In this verse, Jesus gives three words of encouragement, and that's all I want to give you today, is what he gives to me. He gives three words of encouragement as we face the trials that will come to us in this life. And especially when we come into the holiday seasons, it's so easy for us to worry. Somebody called me yesterday and they said, are you going to the mall today? I said, no. They said, why? I said, there's nothing out there I want. They say, you got everything. No, I don't. I just got what I need. I got a roof over my head. I got some beans in the refrigerator. I got socks on my feet. I got clothes on my back. And I've just learned how to be content with what God has already blessed me with. Somebody else called and said, come on and just watch the people. I say, you know, I have a problem watching people. You know, I have problems watching people go. They'll go out there and just spend money they don't have, buying stuff they don't need to impress people that they don't like. No, I ain't going to watch. I said, I ain't going watching people, because I don't want to see people out there spending rent money, spending the house note on stuff that you don't need. And then when the season is over, you'll be at the church saying, help me pay my rent. And when they can't help you pay your rent, you leave the church and they ask you why you left. You say, I don't get fed. Well, here, this is what Jesus does. One, he speaks to us as his flock. He's a loving God. Can I get somebody to say that? He's a loving God. He speaks to us as his flock. You understand what I'm saying? He talks to us like we're his. You know what I don't like? I don't like, we talked about this morning, I don't like people to talk at me. We said this morning, you can spend 2 hours talking, Dr. Mack, to somebody, and when you get through, they ain't said nothing. You don't know anything about them. Jesus speaks to us as his flock. Y'all listen to me. Jesus pictures the people of God. He says, he calls them his sheep, and he calls himself to them. He says, you are my sheep. You know, there aren't many things that Jesus in the Bible calls mine. You know, he's not one of those persons that's always talking about this man, this man, this man, this man, this man. He said, it's my people. He said, this is my sheep. Why, there isn't enough time this morning to discuss all of the similarities between us as sheep and him as shepherd. There is time to say a word or two about how good Jesus is to his children. There's time to talk about how good a shepherd is to his sheep. Like sheep, the people of God are not very smart. We do not possess a good sense of direction, and generally, sheep are utterly defenseless. What did I just say? One, we can't take care of ourselves. One, two, we can't defend ourselves. And three, without God, we don't know which way to go. Like sheep, we must have a shepherd to provide us and lead us alone. He leads us alone. Hear me when I tell you, he leads us alone. When Patrick introduced me or said something to me about last Sunday, he says, I'm Inez Andrews' boy. Well, but before I was Inez Andrews' boy, I was Cassetta George's boy who sang Walk Around Heaven. Why did you say that? I said that to say this. Cassetta had a song. I mean, Inez had Mary, Don't You Weep and Stranger in the City. But Cassetta had a song that used to tear places up that people never did know she sang the song. And the song, I just told you that God leads us alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? He takes us by the hand and he leads us alone. Cassetta George had a song. Can I give you the words to her song that she would go? And this, Lewis, she would pull this song out the hat when things were kind of low in church. When things were not where it needed to be, she would pull this song out. And here's what the song says. It says, in shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children alone. Why does he lead them where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet? God leads his children alone. Where does he lead them? Well, some through the waters, some through the floods, some through the fire, but listen, but all through the blood. Y'all, I feel like I'm in here by myself. Ain't done no worse than feeling like preaching when folk don't feel like hearing preaching. Come back in here. Where does he lead us? Some through the waters. Some through the flood. Some through the fire. But all of us through the blood. Come here. I'm going to do this by myself if I have to. Some through great sorrows. But God gives a song in the night season, and it's all day long. What you're trying to say, sometimes on the mountain, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his children. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his children. I know I'm talking to somebody in here. Some of you been through the flood. Some of you been through the fire. Some of you been through hell and high waters. But God leads us all through the blood. Sometimes on the mountain, sometimes in the valley, God leads us alone. All of the trouble that we get ourselves into during the course of life, imagine how difficult life would be without a shepherd to love us. Imagine with all of the stuff that we get into, and don't we get in some stuff? I don't care who you are. You find yourself in some places and you wonder, how did I get here? You find yourself in some conversations and you wonder, how did I get in this? You find yourself having to help some folk that you said you weren't going to get involved with, and you find yourself saying, how did I get here? Imagine, Camilo, imagine what it would be like if God was not with us, if God did not love us, and if God did not guide us alone. One of the most precious passages in all of the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. In that passage, we are told about how Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares for his flock. Run with me right quick. Verse 1, the Lord is the shepherd. Verse 2, he allows his sheep to be refreshed. Verse 3, he gives his sheep perfect leadership. Verse 4, the shepherd is ever with them. Verse 5, he gives his sheep more than they could even wish for, hope for, or even imagine. And in verse 6, he follows close behind his sheep because goodness and mercy shall follow me. And so first of all, he speaks to us as his flock. But not only does he speak to us as his flock, he speaks to us as his family. Is that all right? Not only am I in his pasture, I'm in his parsonage. Not only do I get to walk with him in the valley, I get to walk with him on the mountaintop. Because he speaks to us not just as a flock, but he speaks to us as his family. Now the use of the word father, when he says father, he tells us that we are more than his sheep. We're not just his sheep, we are also his sons. Now, that's precious truth. That's precious truth. That's precious truth. Y'all know I eat with my Jewish friends every Friday morning, that everybody is in town, that everybody is not sick, that everybody is available. We all get together. And it's interesting to note that the Jews had dozens of names for God. What they needed at any given time usually dictated the name that they used to call on God. What are you talking about, Pastor? Here's what I'm talking about. If they had a need in their life, they would call him Jehovah Jireh from Genesis 22:14, which means what? The Lord will provide. If they were anxious, like some of us are wondering, what we going to do for Christmas and Thanksgiving, what we going to eat for Christmas, and you still got the Thanksgiving turkey in the refrigerator. Some of y'all wondering what you going to eat for Christmas, and you still got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, hog, chickens, turkey, rabbit, you name it. You got it. Some of you just anxious for nothing. I'll wake you up. But if they were anxious, they would call on. If they were anxious, they would call on Jehovah Shalom from Judges 6:24, which means the Lord is my peace. Come here. There's a song that says he gives us peace in the midst of our storm. If they were lonely or afraid, they would call him Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. There was another song Cassetta George used to sing, and that song said he was there all the time. Somebody said, waiting on me, he was there all the time. If they needed leadership, they would call him Jehovah Rohi from Psalms 23, verse 1, because the Lord is my shepherd.
When the Jews needed to get a hold of God, they referred to him by the name in which they had a need. Now, sometimes I need him when I don't know what I need. I'm in here by myself. You missed that. Sometimes I need him when I don't know what my needs are. And so if I had to wait to discover what it is that I need, I might miss calling him. So those of us who are in Jesus, those of us who are in Jesus. Some people don't know when to say amen. I say those of us who are in Jesus. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Those of you who are in Jesus, there is a name. Y'all missing it. That is a name. There is a name. When the disciples wanted to call him, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We need to be able to call on you when we need you. Teach us how to pray. And he said to them, I'm going to tell you what to call me. Those of you who know me, I'm going to tell you what to call me. Just call me Father. Can I get a witness here? I don't care what your need is. Maybe you need a provider, but you can call me Father. Maybe you need a doctor. You don't have to worry about what to call me like the Jews. You can call me Father. Now, the Aramaic word for father is Abba. Come here. You know what Abba really means? Abba translates to the English word daddy. Didn't I just tell y'all he sees us as his family? He's really saying, you can call me daddy. You run out of stuff to say, you get in trouble. He said, you can just call me daddy. I'm talking to folk here now. I know whenever my children got in trouble, it didn't matter what the trouble was. They knew daddy was going to come to see about it. Little boy told Ricky Jr., he said, my daddy going to buy me a bike. Ricky Jr. said, my daddy going to buy me 5 bikes. Now, I had to go buy one. Because of the trust he has in his daddy. I'm going to leave y'all. He speaks to us as his flock. He speaks to us as his family. I'm going to leave you when I tell you, finally, he speaks to us as his favorite. I'm the 8th child out of 9. All of my life, I had to fight. All of my life, I've been called my mama's favorite. I got to go to the country. I got to go on the vacation because they say you mama's favorite. Well, I don't really know whether I was the favorite or not, but it felt like I was a favorite. I mean, when it was time to go, mama said, well, I can't take but one. Come on, Ricky. Mama would reach in her pocketbook and say, well, I ain't got but a dollar here, Ricky. Mama could say, well, I need all y'all to clean up the house and y'all do this and y'all do this and y'all do that. Ricky, you go with me. God sees us as his favorite. That's the last part of verse 32, and I'm going to let y'all go home. That's the last part of 32 tells us that God delights in giving his children the kingdom. You see, some people think that a parent is being good to the parent because the parent is doing it for the kid. I've had to tell people many times, stuff I did for my children, I really didn't do it for them. I did it because I found delight in doing it for them. It made me happy to see a smile on their face. It made me happy to see joy in their life. I mean, come here, parents. The stuff that you buy for your children, you know they're not going to play with it at Christmas time. We already know now. We already know. Mike, we already know. All that stuff we go out and buy, we know you can buy $200 this, $100 this, a $99 that, and a $2 this. And they walk around the house with that $2 thing in their hands and $300 or $400 sitting around there, and your bills have got to be paid all year long, and they playing with a $2 gadget. I bought every kind of truck that they sold for my boys, but when I bought that, you know, the big tongue trucks, the big long trucks, I mean, I'm enjoying them trucks myself. I'm enjoying the trucks. But when I look up at my boys, they had them little small trucks pushing them on the window of the car. I'm going to leave you when I tell you that God speaks to us as his flock. God speaks to us as his family. But when people look at you and tell you, you act like you somebody special, don't tell them that you're not. Tell them that I'm one of God's favorites. Tell them you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Tell them you wasn't there and you don't know when the Lord saved me from all of my sin. Tell them I wish you could have been there when I came through. The church was on fire with the Holy Ghost too. Tell them if anybody asks you who I am, don't worry about my name. Don't try to figure out what school that I've been to. Don't try to figure out who I know best, Inez or Cassetta. Don't try to figure out where I live. But tell them that I am a child of God. And tell them that not only do I love the Lord, but the Lord loves me. And ain't it wonderful just to know that he loves me? And every morning, right early, the Lord is my alarm clock. If you don't believe it, somebody think that that alarm that you set in your telephone is the reason why you woke up this morning. Can I get a witness here? But somebody set the clock last night. Can I get a witness? And early the clock went off, Lord. But they didn't get up this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gone now. I've enjoyed telling you that not to worry. I've enjoyed telling you that I'm God's child. I've enjoyed telling you that I'm in the flock of God. Lord, I'm in the family of God, and then I'm one of God's favorites. I'm not a favorite because of what I wear. I'm not a favorite because of where I stand, but I'm a favorite because of who he is. Can I get a witness? God is everything. God is everything. He's able. B, he's a bridge over troubled water. C, he's a comforter. D, he's a doctor in my sick room. E, he's everything that you need. F, you talk about a friend. G, he guides me every step of the way. H, he's hope for tomorrow. I, he informs me when my enemy set traps out for me. He informs me. Jane, he's a jealous God. He said, thou should have no other God before me. He's King of Kings, and in hell, he's Lord of Lords. M, he's a merciful God. Is there anybody here ever need the mercies of God? N, he's all I need, and he's all you need. He's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. What you're trying to say? He got all power, he knows all things, and he's everywhere at the same time. He's a powerful God. I gotta pause here and ask you right now, ain't he got power? God Almighty, I done got happy now. Sit there if you want to, but ain't he got power? Power, power to speak a word. Man will lay down and die. Power to speak another word, and that same man will get up and live again. He's the question, and he is the answer. He's the rock of my salvation. He's satisfied. Is anybody satisfied? Is anybody satisfied? He talks to me. He understands when I'm right and when I'm wrong. He's the victory. W is what I like about God. He walks with me. He walks with me. X, he's an X-ray. See the smiles on my face. Tears in my heart. Can I get a witness? Y, he's Yahweh. Z, he's the zeal. of my heart. Good evening, church. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Y'all excuse me, but I done got happy now. The reason why I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Is anybody here love him? Is anybody here love him? Is anybody here love him? Shake your neighbor's hand. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him I love him. 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 I love the Lord. God Almighty, I don't know how you feel about it, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ain't he good? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good God Almighty, thank you, Jesus. Lift those hands and tell God, thank you. Yeah, thank you. The doors of the church are open. The doors are open. We extend an invitation for somebody to come to Jesus and know him today. Know that, one, he sees you as his flock. Yeah. He sees you as his flock.
Amen.
He sees you as his family. And why don't you lift your hands and say, I'm one of God's.